Hi everybody, the Complex PTSD Guy here. I'll start out by saying I'm not a doctor or psychiatrist, I'm just a guy living with complex PTSD, and I'm sharing my own ideas, experiences, and opinions on this podcast. I have some pretty interesting things to tell you guys, or at least they're interesting from my opinion. I took a class today on, it was about mental health, and it discussed PTSD, and it discussed some things that I had never heard before that were very eye-opening. So this was a class called Calming an Overactive Brain, and it was put on by the Institute for Brain Potential, and they do various seminars throughout the United States. They might do them in other places, but I don't know. I just know of the United States. And this was for continuing education for my massage therapy license renewal. So most of the people there were therapists, psychologists, people like that, people who work in the mental health field. But for people, there's various different types of degrees or practices that you can be in, and massage therapy is one of them, where we work with clients. And so therefore, this is a class about working with a client and about calming an overactive brain. So trying to help people calm down and learning about, you know, where troubles sometimes come from, things that affect our brains, and how our mind is different from our brain, and our mind can actually impair our brain, which I'd never really heard it that way before. So when I say the word mind, I mean our thoughts. There's the physical brain, and then there's our thoughts. And this was something the instructor pointed out. By the way, the instructor was Brian King. He has a PhD. And I liked him a lot. He's written several books that you can find out there. He's really big into humor and laughing, and I think he's actually a stand-up comedian as well, because he believes in the power of humor to help with mental health. And I've told you guys before, that was something I actually thought of doing, was stand-up comedy, but I never did it. I'm more of a writer, and so, rather than a performer. So I could easily write comedy. I think that would be a lot of fun. A lot of the shows I watch are adult comedy shows. Some of the shows I've mentioned before. But anyway, back to my talking point. I wanted to share some of the things I learned in this class. It was from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. So I was there all day today, pretty much. I learned things about the prefrontal cortex, which is something I brought up to you guys before. And specifically, they talked about restraint. I don't know if he used the word restraint, but he basically talked about withholding impulses. Reframing core beliefs is how they worded it. He specifically did talk about PTSD, and something interesting that was brought up. It said people with PTSD, our brains, from the time that the trauma was occurring, especially, again, I'm talking about young people. So if it developed in childhood, teenage years, people with PTSD don't activate, their brains don't activate what's called the VM prefrontal cortex when we're under stress. So there's a part of our brain that isn't activating something, and this something is basically telling our brain whether a stressor is something we can handle or not handle. And specifically, when it comes to learned helplessness, that's a way bigger part of all of this than I ever really realized. Learned helplessness, or helplessness leading to feelings of hopelessness, but helplessness, when you can't escape your abuser, which a lot of the times that's what complex PTSD is, you feel trapped, there's no way out, there's no one to help you. That particular aspect of it is so huge, and it's much bigger than I realized, because it actually alters your brain to not understand that you can actually control stressors the way a person who hasn't been what we've been through, their brain would do that. Their brain would just do that. Our brains don't automatically do that. So I found that very interesting. I never heard that. That's a new one on me. And that is very eye-opening. This class discussed building resilience and how building resilience is related to the left part of our prefrontal cortex area. I didn't know that. So I've always heard that the left, people who are left brain dominant are like math people, logic people. A lot of times music can help with that. I am a right brain person for sure. I run with my emotions. I run with my feelings. I'm more into like arts. I think actually being creative is right brained, probably because we have to be problem solvers because of how we are. I mean, I've talked about that over and over. I'm a critical thinker, which a lot of times that's problem solving. I'm not a logical thinker. And so this all makes sense. So when you build resilience, and by the way, he talked about something so on point with what I've been discussing with you guys. He said, he talked about boredom, and he talked about the importance of hobbies. That's what I've been telling you guys about. And I've been talking about that in regards to low self-esteem, the importance of hobbies. But he said hobbies bring us back to like who we are, but they also make us happy. And happiness is one of the biggest resilient builders you can engage with. So if you can engage with your hobbies, you can engage with being more happy, and that will engage the left side of your prefrontal cortex, which is basically your problem-solving part of your brain, your prefrontal cortex. It's your ability to restrain. So like I've been talking about restraining, and your prefrontal cortex does that. Rather than just thinking impulsively and avoiding things, you want to think more with that prefrontal cortex part of your brain. It's basically the front part of your brain. And if I understand it correctly, but the you want to think more logically, and you don't want to rush. You want to restrain. So like when I gave the example of me wanting to impulsively just tell everybody every breaking news story I hear about, or wanting to spill the beans, you know, or we're just wanting to say anything without thinking of how it might backfire. I've been a lot better about withholding that. So holding my tongue and just shutting up, you know, keeping my mouth shut and pausing before I spill something and deciding, okay, I probably shouldn't share that because it will backfire. Basically thinking more before you speak, but it's more holding my tongue is what it is. Because I literally don't say certain things anymore that I normally would say around certain people in certain environments. Like I really hold, it's really around all people. But holding my tongue and then really appreciating it after the fact, because I'm like, I'm so glad I didn't spill the beans or I didn't impulsively just message everybody about something. And it really changes who you are. It changes your whole perspective of your day. Because if you do spill the beans, then the rest of the day you feel you're beating yourself up and you're regretting it. And then you're thinking, oh, I'm beating myself up. I need to stop that. Well, don't spill the beans to begin with, right? So they talked about building resilience. And again, a lot of that was happiness. So in regards to boredom, he related somewhat of that into rumination. So ruminating on something and the difference between like worrying and ruminating. And I'm not trying to tell everything that he did in this seminar, but I'm going to share just key points because again, this is like a whole class. And ruminating being a downward spiral. And that's what I think of as boredom. So boredom for me, that's why I've told you guys it's such a huge deal that I have found a cure for boredom. I found something that works for me. That's why I'm calling it a cure. And that's going shelf by shelf at the library. His example was using hobbies. Engage with as many hobbies as you can possibly find and enjoy them. I will say the problem with that for me, because I did that for a long time. I engaged with working out, with drawing, with painting, with poetry, with working out more, with, you know, trying all types of different things. And then I eventually get bored with them. And that's the problem. But this is why the books at the library works, because, and why I call it a cure, because it's something that will never end. It's like you can go shelf by shelf and check out 3 to 5 books and just see what you learn. Because whether you think you know everything that's going to be in that book or not, you don't know everything that's going to be in that book. Like you don't, you may be very surprised as to what you learn. And that's what's different about it, is you can just keep going at your own pace. The books are always going to be there. I mean, unless they completely make libraries obsolete altogether, which they better not do. But they're always going to be there to go back to. It's always in an order, right? So you can just pick up where you left off. And to me, it's like something that I wouldn't get bored with, because it's always something new to learn. So for me, I could try and work out, you know, 3 days a week, which I do. And I shouldn't say I get bored with working out, but trying to use that as a hobby. Like, I've tried yoga and I got bored with yoga. Whereas my walking, I don't get bored with that. But, you know, I got bored with yoga. I got bored with poetry because I felt like it was political, whatever. But the reading works. The reading sticks. So, and I think it's because it's almost like going to a movie every week. It's like you're watching something you've never seen before. You're reading about stuff that I have no clue about. So I'm learning something. It's new. It's something I've never come across. I had never come across that book, The Novel Cure. I had no idea there was a book about ailments and how to use novels and how one ailment can connect to other ailments that might actually solve your problem. Which, by the way, I almost told this guy who hosted this class about that book, just because I like sharing the good word, but I thought to myself, I'm going to hold my tongue because he might not care about that. He might think that I'm coming across as like a know-it-all or something, like, oh, I have something to share with you, doctor. You know, it's almost like I didn't want to come across that way. So I've been trying to think of, you know, various situations like that. Like, this may very well be something he's already heard about or whatever. Or maybe it would have been something he would have been really happy to learn about. I don't know. You know, maybe I'm wrong, but I didn't want to assume. You know what I mean? I didn't want to assume that he would find this interesting. So I didn't share that with him. And I thought, you know what? He's the instructor. I'm here to learn from him. He's not here to learn from me. And let's just keep it what it is here. So I held my tongue. And I was glad I did. I was glad that I didn't start, you know, sort of a rabbit hole. Because what normally would happen in a situation like that is I would share something with them. They'd share something with me. It would go on and on and on. And they might eventually reach a point of something where they say something that, you know, it leads into something that maybe I'm not interested in, or it might just lead somewhere that I don't want it to lead to. So I just thought, you know what, I'm just going to keep this to myself. And I feel better for it. I feel like I was a student, right? And he's the teacher. Because that's what I was there for. I wasn't there to teach him something. Some other things that they went over that I wanted to share. So one way that I look at that Novel Cure book, by the way, is if you feel stuck, because he kind of talked about one thing that they brought up in this class with ruminating. So if you're ruminating, which I think a lot of us do, and ruminating, this instructor pointed out, leads to depression, whereas worrying leads to anxiety. But ruminating, I think, is something that we as people with complex PTSD do a lot. And so I think if you're ruminating, again, that book, The Novel Cure, that I mentioned, that helps you get unstuck. And that was one moment when I was thinking that would have been a great moment for him to share that book, that Novel Cure book. Because if you are ruminating, it means you're stuck in like a downward spiral. That book gets you unstuck. I swear to God, it gets you unstuck. And it shows you solutions, actual solutions that you very well might not even think of. It showed me solutions and I'm using them. Like, it's fascinating. But, you know, I can't compliment that book enough. He also talked about some other things. He actually mentioned chess. So, you know how I've told you guys that chess helps with the prefrontal cortex and strategy building? It gets you thinking critically. He mentioned that as well. He mentioned a lot of things that I mentioned on this podcast. So it made me feel good. Like, okay, maybe I know what I'm talking about here. Because again, I'm not a doctor. I just read things and learn things and share them with you. And I share my own experience living with complex PTSD. And then another really big thing is the concept of having control. And I'm going to do a separate episode about this. So that he talked about the concept of having control regarding a stressor. So when a stressor pops up, again, this goes back to our brains being wired differently when we have PTSD or complex PTSD. It said regarding a stressor, your brain doesn't know that it has control over the stressor, and this is why it's such a big deal. Our brains are not operating properly in respect to that. And I never heard that before. They're not picking up that we can control this. That goes back to the helplessness thing. And again, the best way to build resilience is to find things that bring you happiness. And what is the opposite of happiness? The opposite of happiness is querulousness, which is griping. So if you notice you're griping and you're whining or you're thinking, woe is me, that's a sign that you're not happy. So anytime you're doing that, I would try to think, okay, what's a hobby I can engage with that will bring me happiness? That would be the first thing to kind of retrain your brain. Anytime you're griping, that's something that I would do, is think hobby, hobby, hobby. What's a hobby I can engage with? Because if you're griping, that's the opposite of happiness. And if you want to be a better problem solver and have a happier life, think hobby, hobby, hobby. What are some hobbies? And again, for me, I'm using the cure for boredom. So that's something that's working for me. And then there are occasional hobbies I engage with. But like I said, I'm someone who in the past has sometimes become bored with hobbies. So that's why I say this book thing that I do works. It's something where I can always learn something new. So I just wanted to share some of that, but I'm going to get a little bit more into this control thing. And what I mean by control is the concept that we're not helpless. I want to specifically just point out something that they mentioned in this class about that. So that's all. This is the Complex PTSD Guy signing off.